Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day. Thank you for joining us on our, whatever you call it, I'm pointing at it, on our comments. Hi, Lundquist, here you go, woohoo! But in our comments, Bree's gonna post our Connect form. It's our digital Connect form. And so if it is your first time here and you're watching and you'd like someone to send you a card, fill it out. But here's really why I wanna put it down. It's summer, and so we have this pressure sometimes to feel good. We have this pressure of like, oh, it's beautiful out, and people are going to the beach, and I should have all this fun. At least, like, it's 4th of July weekend. We should have this, like, this exciting, out-of-this-world experience. But maybe, like me, I'm not feeling that this weekend. There's something still about the reality that we're in that still just makes it really hard. And I can't ever plan, and when it's hard, I wish I could plan for it and then like function around it. It pops up, and some days are harder than others. And so I imagine there's some people who are feeling that same thing. And so fill out the Connect form if you're feeling that, if you want someone to pray for you, or you want someone to pray with you, or you want to text, or you want to chat with somebody. You're not alone, not at all. I've had some great text conversations with people who are newer to our community because that's what we do as a community. We show up, we listen, and we encourage and help each other flourish. So fill that out if you'd like to connect with somebody. All right, if my wife is watching, yes, Nikki, I made an order of service so that I can follow along. I can even dunk on you when you're not even here. All right, so, this is so good. What day was it? Last Tuesday. We did our first ever beginnings class. Well, not first ever, our first for a while beginnings class where people got to learn a story about Neighborhood Church and how we came into existence and went through our values and answered several questions that people had about our theology, what does it look like to get involved, had some great questions. We have another one coming up next Sunday, and we're gonna do it July 12th, right after service. So we'll start the Zoom call right when we're done. So right, be around like 11 a.m. is usually when we wrap up. And so if you want to learn more about our community, have all your questions answered, because that's, I think it's really important of when you walk into an organization, and man, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but coming into a church, belonging to a spiritual community is a very sacred and vulnerable thing. The only way it works really is if you're willing to be vulnerable. And so to be vulnerable, to be open, and to be emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually available, right? That costs you something. And so, I don't know if you know this, but churches historically have hurt people. Big news, right? We want to do everything we can to set you up for success, and we value being clear, we value honesty and clarity, and so you can ask us, at any point, you can ask us a question, but at that class, there's something on that Zoom call, I should say, there's something life-giving when you hear other people ask questions that maybe you thought, but you didn't, like, I don't know if we can ask a pastor that question. I don't know if we're allowed at churches to, like, ask these questions. Oh, yeah, totally. The more questions means more clarity. So that's next Sunday. You don't need to sign up. You can just hop on the Zoom call. It's all on our webpage under gatherings. So at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. You can go on there, and is it .org? So this is why I need someone here. Oh, I'm looking right here. Great, .org. Yes, thank you, Bree. I appreciate it. You can go in there under the gatherings, and you can get all the information that you need. Now, special shout out to all the dogs. You did it Last night is a rough night. You get it? No pun intended. I didn't do that on purpose. It's a rough night for dogs. Having, at least for my little Chance, every time there was like that, he just would look up. Two nights ago, every time he'd heard one, he just started, he started barking. Butch, ask any question. Chris really does answer all your questions. That's a good reputation to have instead of people saying, well, will you answer this question? Like, nah, no, other questions. But to all the dogs out there, you did hard things. I wish I could say it's all over, but we have people who love to blow things up every day in the summer, right? That's what they do. Steve Hamlin, one of our worship leaders, says that it's been like nonstop for like a whole month. Every night, someone's just blowing things up. So there you go. There's that. And then I think that's it. Oh, okay. So we are officially going to move on to worship, right? Buckle up. You get Chris Sauter for worship today. And worship is our response to what we know to be true about God and our experience of the divine. So anything that you respond of what you know about God or you have an experience with God, that is worship. Worship is significantly more than just singing some songs. But songs are great because we are learning and we're speaking truth that we know about God. And you also have an emotional experience for some of you, have this emotional experience, because to sing collectively with other people saying all the same things, that is a good and beautiful thing. But today we're going to worship in a different way. We're going to worship through some breathing and through some praying. And if this is not your bag, like the last... Jaden, and Jocelyn, they just got married last weekend. Well, I think it was last weekend. So more married people in COVID. You did it. Woohoo! So Stoniches and Lacour is nice to see you. But what was I talking about? Prayer, worship. And I was going to say something. Oh, it's not your thing. When we started going live, Nikki did these breathing exercises. And this one person posted, said, "This is nuts. We don't need breathing. We need the Lord." And I, whenever we do these, I think of that. And I hope that person's watching, because yes, you need the Lord and you can breathe. So here's what I want you to do, if you would be so willing, right? I'm going to have you close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I don't know if you can see, I better back up, right? And I want you to put your hand on your chest and close your eyes. And if you're watching, if your kids are watching, you can do the same thing. Put your hand on your body. I want you to take a deep breath in. And let it out. We do one more time. Breathe in. Breathe out. And with your eyes being closed, I want you to think about something that you deeply love. Could be a place, could be a person, could be a meal. And I want you to hold that. I want you to see it and notice what you feel when you think about what you deeply love. And if you want to, you can even speak to it verbally or in your mind. What do you love about that? All right, next, I want you to think about something that you deeply love about yourself. This one's harder. Think about something you love about yourself. It could be a part of your body. Could be a skill, a hobby. I want you to hold it. I want you to feel it. I want you to recognize it. And in your own way, for the two things you just thought of, I want you to say a prayer thanking God. So God, we are thankful and we worship you for what you have put in us and our body. And it's easy for us to look at ourselves or think of ourselves as less than, but what you see is beautiful and what you see is good. And I thank you for the things that we love deeply, for that person, that place, that experience. And every good and beautiful thing comes from you, and you are in every single thing. So we say yes and amen to you, God. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being the existence and the being of love. I pray you'd be with my friends today where love feels difficult or receiving love feels difficult. I pray for my friends who feel distant. Be with us. You are with us. We love you. Amen. All right. Yeah, that was worship. Cheers, worship. See Steve? Steve Hamlin? It wasn't so hard. What up? So, T-Pain's watching. Hi, nice to see you. And the Weavers, it's great to see you. And Jill Yankee, it's always good to see you. So we're going to start. Here's the bonus thing, right? Is that we're going to be done like 20 minutes earlier. So I guess you're welcome for that. If you are just hopped on, I want to just say one more time. In our comments, we put down our Connect form. And if you're newer and you'd like, we send a card to people who filled out the Connect form just as a way of like, it's good to get mail. But specifically on there for people who are feeling isolated or feeling like that you would like someone to pray for you, or if you'd like someone to pray with you or chat with you or text with you. If you fill out that Connect form, someone will be contacting you early this week to talk or text or just pray for you, because you're not in alone. I just want to make sure that you guys had that. All right, so here we go. Drink coffee. Today we are talking about wisdom, and we're reading out of the wisdom literature. In the Bible, there is different sections, right? There's like the prophets, the minor prophets, and wisdom literature. And wisdom literature is Ecclesiastes, which if you've never read, it's mind-blowing. It's Song of Solomon's, or Song of Songs. It is Job, which is coming up. We're going to do a whole series on Job, because I'm going to go on a rant here. Job, to me, is one of the most misunderstood books of the Bible. Revelation, by far, number one. But Job, because Job tells a story, all right, of God and the devil in some back room making some handshake agreement, right? And then all these horrible things happen to Job. And depending on how you, view God, right? Because that's very, very important, how you view God. That can be a completely messed up story, right? But if you're willing just to go a little bit under the surface, it tells this story of Job that is heart-wrenching, right? Horrible things happen to him. But what the author's trying to communicate is something that elevates higher than just some, it's going to be great. It is, the wisdom in that book is just unbelievable. So that's coming up soon, and I'm really excited about that. But then there's Proverbs, and that's what we're going to be reading out of, is Proverbs. And Proverbs is Solomon trying to teach his son wisdom, because we need wisdom. But like, what is wisdom? Like being smart or being intellectual is very good. I'm a huge fan of furthering education, of being a lifelong learner, of having a growth mindset, and always resourcing more and more of how to be a better parent, friend, follower of Jesus, whatever it might be, big fan. But I know a lot of really smart people who can do some really stupid things, right? Just because you're smart does not mean you are wise, right? Wisdom brings like this depth. Wisdom brings this this idea of that you can be anchored to something deeper than yourself. Because have you ever met, when you met a wise person, what flipped the switch for you? You're like, oh, these people are wise. Like, I've been looking for more mentors. When we made the transition, a lot of the mentors I had, we went different ways, and that's fine. So I'm like, I need more wise people in my life, because I thrive when I learn. Oh, my wife is now watching. Honey, I just love you so much. I gotta take time to do that. But wise people like my wife, right? What I found out about people who are wise is that that they don't discount the reality of what's happening in their bodies or in this world. They don't discount that maybe the sky is falling, and when they see it, they don't overfunction, they don't underfunction, they don't like freak out. That's more like me. Sometimes I'm like, oh no, what are we gonna do? It's like they can see the reality of what is, and then they can pivot and they can move without having to like blow things up. It's wonderful. It's almost like they are just tethered to a reality or a way of seeing that's just higher than me. And I love that. I need people with wisdom. And we need wisdom more than ever right now, right? Because in our culture, and even especially online, what shapes our culture is that we live in a binary world, a binary culture of where we say we can hold, there's right or wrong, there's good or evil, there's black and then there's white. And we can only hold one truth at once. Because in a binary world, right, if you are male, then you are definitely not female, and that's it. So those are the only two options that you have. And so when we're presented with a value, when we're presented with something political or social justice, and you speak out, and you say, yes, I hold the truth that Black Lives Matter. In a binary world, then, anything outside of that, people say, oh, now you're against law enforcement. You're against all these other values, because if you say this, then that also means you're saying this, which is totally not true. I support Black Lives Matter, absolutely, through and through. But I also value my friends who are in law enforcement as well. And they want to see change. They want to see a flourishing world in their communities as well. But when we live in that binary world of just being able to hold one truth, then you feel the tension. You feel the fear of even speaking out, because you're like, well, then I'm just going to be demonized by all these people. Instead, what wisdom allows you is that you can hold several truths at once. That the world is not black or white, that the world is actually nuanced, that there is something more fluid and more expansive than just male or female. As what Sarah talked about last week, there is what wisdom brings into the conversation is that we can see the world for what it is. We can see these truths and this love and these values, and we can navigate through this world being able to pick things up and actually have a critical thought about it and think about it and process it and share it with people instead of saying, I have this one thing, now everyone else is wrong. No, I am done. I am done living that world. And that's what my former tradition really taught me, right? It taught me of like, we have to defend this one truth, and we have to like circle the troops around this one value. And what I see in this sacred, holy, inspired word of God is that we can move and we can be and we can engage. And if it leads to love, that's the kingdom of God. So we need wisdom, friends. Because wisdom leads to love instead of judgment. Wisdom leads to flourishing instead of just, I mean, think of how easy it is of when you just hold like one truth, right? Then you know, or anyone who says what I say, anyone who votes what I vote, anyone who posts what I post, anyone who doesn't, well, now they're the them and us. And we know that we're good. And you can just, how often do we just put so much energy in just reinforcing things we already know to be true? Instead of like holding that to be true, but then also looking around and saying, well, what else? It's like, yes, and. Yes, and. There's just so, wisdom just leads to a whole new way of seeing. And that's what the divine wants for us, friends, that we can transcend and include. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about wisdom. And today we're reading out of Proverbs 24. And I love this. We're reading out of the Message translation as well. We're starting on a verse 30. This is what it says. One day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones. One day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones and then passed the vineyard of a lout. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles, all the fences broken down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw. The fields preached me a sermon, and I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. I love it, right? Eugene Peterson wrote the Message translation, which I love because it takes the honoring of the Greek and here the Hebrew, and then just puts it in a context that can like resonate with us today. And I love the play with, oh, look at old lazy bones, all right? But there's two things here. The first one is this. That line said, the fields preach me a sermon and I listen. I read that last week. And have you ever like read something or heard something that just like stopped you? And like everything else that was happening just like got quieter. When I read that the fields preach me a message or a sermon and I listen, I put my phone down and I listened to all the birds thinking, if a field can preach a message, what are the birds speaking to me today? Because this is, you're going to hear something. If you're newer to our community, I hope you get sick of me saying this. I hope everyone else is sick of me saying this, because I would have loved someone to teach this to me 20 years ago. And it's this, that God is in every single thing. Everything is not God, but God, the divine, is in all things. And if that is true, then we are all connected and we all belong. And if the divine can be in a field that is with some broken fences and some wild weeds, that means that the divine can also be in those birds singing me a song. It could be in that meal. It could be in that pain in your right foot. It could be in the laughter of your kids. For me, it's in every morning, except this morning, because I left so early. But most mornings, I pick up my little puppy Chance, and he licks my ears for some reason. Probably because I'm super hot. That's probably why. But he licks my ears, and I say every time, I'm like, "You're my guy. You're my guy." And in that moment, in that fleeting moment, that's the divine. And any time that love is withdrawn from you, any time that beauty is withdrawn from you, in that second, that is love, that is God, that is heaven, that is the kingdom of God in that moment. And when you can believe that, when you can recognize that, when you can receive that, then everywhere you go in this world, everywhere you go to Chubb Lake, obviously, right? You're going to hear the divine. You're going to see the divine. You're going to experience the divine. And this word of God, right? When you preach a message, it's the word of God. And the word of God, if you just limit it to, right? I should have a Bible. I'm one of those pastors, right? When you limit it just to the, because this is the word of God. And we believe it is sacred. We believe that it's inspired, right? But what is the word of God? The word of God leads you to God. The word of God leads you to see and to grow and to evolve and to bring change and to bring love to all the places, to all the people, right? So when you see, when we read the word of God of the Hebrew people being oppressed and beaten and slaughtered, and Moses stands up and says, let my people go, and leads them into this flourishment. Well, actually, he leads them into the desert for 40 years and kind of goes in circles, but like still flourishing nonetheless, that's the word of God, that it led to being inspired, led to a different way of being human. In the same way, when we speak to power, and when people go out and protest, when people go out and say that we no justice, no peace, when we go to that place, that is the word of God. In the same way, when Mary sings this song, when she finds out she's pregnant with the Messiah, and it's so beautiful, and she sings this song of how the rulers and the mighty who are up here will be brought down to this level, to this ground, but also the poor and the hungry will be brought right up to the same level. And what does that mean? It means we are all connected and we all belong. And whatever system you want to put up, any way you want to say, well, I'm better than you because I have this, I look like this, I do this, I own this, I believe this, whatever little system you want to put up, what Mary is saying, that this God plays a different game. This God sings a different song. And so when we go to the mobile food pantry and we spend time in February, negative 30 degrees, feeding people, that is also the word of God. When you give a couple bucks to someone else who's standing on the side of the street, that's the word of God. When you have someone at your table just to clink some glasses, right? Someone sitting on your deck laughing, or someone sitting on your deck crying, that, my friends, is the word of God. But here's the thing. That word of God can happen at anywhere. That message, that field can preach that sermon. But it says, the field preached me a sermon and I listened. We have the option. We have the option to engage or disengage. We have the opportunity to be aware and have this open mind and have our mind and our heart and our spirits and our bodies just overwhelmed with the kindness and the beauty of the Christ. Or we could put our head down and say, no, it can only happen in this place. It can only happen in this area. It can only happen with this book, this author, this politician, this color of skin, this kind of hair. We put so many limitations on it, but if you're willing to be open, the fields can preach you a message. So what is that message? That's the good. This is the second part, right? This is the good part. The field preaches a message, and it says, starts with old lazy bones and talks about a nap here, a take off some time here. And we live in a capitalistic society, right? And so we celebrate and reward those who work till they're dead, right? One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is How I Built This with Guy Raz, right? I love that because I'm a 3 on Enneagram, so entrepreneurship is like just right there. But entrepreneurship is like, oh yeah, I worked 80 hours and we had to go out and get all this capital from all these different people and we failed, but then we did good again. There's something that we reward to people who can overproduce by working incredibly hard and doing difficult things, right? So you could, through that lens, you could read this verse and say, oh, naps here, what you gotta do is work harder, sweat more, go faster, be better, right? Work till you're dead, work till you're dead. And that's not at all, that's not the message the fields are preaching. Because the same people, the same tradition that wrote this story, that wrote this wisdom, are the same people who went out of their way in writing a story so people can understand what kind of God there is and what kind of people we are and what kind of world we live in, they went out of their way to say, oh, by the way, God needed to take an entire day off. God needed to rest. Sabbath, right, was ingrained in their whole way of doing life and being human. Rest was celebrated. In fact, they put into their Levitical code that you could be killed for breaking Sabbath. That's how much they loved their rest. So the message here isn't that you got to work hard, right? And there's no breaks and those who nap are weak, right? Then no, none of that. I lived there for a long time. The unhealthy part of being a 3 on the Enneagram is that I want to win at all costs. And so I will demonize anything that does not help me win, including like slowing down, including taking care of my mental health, right? Taking care of my physical health. Oh man, I was a wreck. But there's something inside me to be holy, to be good, to be a man, to be a pastor means I have to outwork every single person. The truth is, I don't. I value hard work. So what is the message telling here, right? What is the sermon that this broken fence and these overgrown weeds, here's the message, friends. The message is this. At some point, this person, this farmer, inherited this land or bought this land and had a vision and had a dream of what could be, putting their hand in the soil, putting their hand in the bushes around and thinking of what could be grown, what kind of dream, what kind of potential is in just under the surface. And have you been here before? We begin to dream about something and you're like, oh, what if I did this? And what if I was able to accomplish this? And what if I went back to school or I could have this friend? And you get really, really excited. I could see this person thinking about what could I grow? How could this impact the people around me? How could this impact my family and for generations and generations? And clearly got some fences up, started growing some things, started getting things in motion. But when you go from the idea and the energy and the vision of something, then all of a sudden you have to take a step back and move over and then begin to actually do it, buckle up. Because it is hard. It is very hard. It takes hard work. And this is the message. Get clear of what you want, but then actually go and do it. Right? That's the message. And at some point in trying to do it, this farmer, this person just said, time to take a break, which is healthy. It is okay to step back from being the best you, to pause, to rest, to breathe, to laugh, to cry. Right? It's okay. But when that becomes the tradition, that becomes the habit, is just to continually lay down and let everything else grow around you. Why? Because it's just too hard. What wisdom says is you can do hard things. Right? But where you got to start is you have to get clear of what it is that you want. My friend Jenny Birch, she would say often, all right, Chris, what is it you really want? I'd be like, I really want to be a healthy person. Oh, great. You and the rest of humanity. What does healthy look like to Chris? What does it look like for Chris now? And what does it look like for Chris in 6 months, in 1 year, in 5 years? That's, you got to get crystal clear, right? So here's some questions I want. And I've been thinking a lot about talking to people, having conversations, and even just watching what people are posting is a lot about friends. With the pandemic and going to having all these friends doing all these things to maybe having just an isolated group of people, or maybe you were just totally quarantining and everything's over Zoom, right? I imagine that some of you, the way that you viewed friendships, the idea of friendships, or maybe specific friends, has began to change. And this is really healthy. Ask the questions. What is it that I want in a friendship? Right? Maybe a different question. What am I worth to my friends? What is it that I'm worth? What am I tolerating? Right? And this can be, if you're like me, I love the dream, right? I'm like, and I'm an eternal optimist. So it's like, not only can I dream, I really am convinced I can actually do all of it, right? Especially if you get me in the same room as Dietrich Winter, who's on our board, and we start dreaming about church, and we're like, well, what if we do this? And we had a monster truck rally. Like, that's literally things that come out of our mouths. I love it, right? But when it comes to your friends, you start thinking, what am I tolerating? What am I worth? And you might think, where a lot of people start, is like, well, we've been friends since kindergarten. Yeah, that's great. Get clear of what you want and communicate that. Because when you go from what is it that I want, what is my worth, and step into the lane of, okay, now I have to go and do the work, that means you might have to have some hard conversations. It means you might have to have some boundaries. It might be for the very first time you telling your friend or you telling your partner, this is what it makes me to feel loved. And this isn't working. Right? Because as healthy Minnesotans, what we'll either do is we'll either have that conversation and underplay it, or we'll ghost them. We'll do what we call in my family the Irish goodbye. You don't say anything, you just get up and you leave. And we can do that to people all the time. What is it you want your friends? What is it that you're worth to your employer, right? Now that you've been maybe laid off, or maybe you're working from home, or maybe you've been working, you're an essential worker, you've been working the whole time. Getting clear, what am I worth to my employer? What am I worth to my employees? What is it I want with my mental health? What is it that I want in my physical health? What is it I want in my, I imagine there's kids watching. What is it I want in my pleasure with my body? And that's a lot more than just what you're thinking, right? Your body is good and it's meant to experience pleasure. How about this one? What is it that you want? Do you want to move in your 60s? Like, do you want to use your body to actually be able to move and still have pleasure in your 60s? What are you doing about it now in your 40s? What are you doing with your mental health now so that when you're in retirement, you can be a healthy you and not be that grumpy old person who's blaming on everyone else coming on their lawn, right? Get clear. And you got to do the work. So I'm going to give you just a couple of examples for me. When the pandemic hit, if you know me, and I tell you, hey, our first house, yeah, we built a house. That's the same thing I tell people. I say, yeah, my wife and I, we had a baby. Mm-hmm. We did not have a baby. Nikki had a baby. I just got to be in the room, right? We did not have a baby. And we definitely did not build a house. Who built a house? My father, my father-in-law, Nikki's aunt and uncle, and her brother, right? But what we did, if we're going to use that term, is we went to Menards and got 10 things and came back and found out 7 of the things were the wrong size. So I got to go to Menards again, right? And then I picked up nails. I went to Menards, returned things, and picked up nails. That is how we built a house, right? So I've always wanted to be handy. And what everyone kept telling me is, like, you just got to do it. You just got to start doing it. And so When COVID happened, we had this bathroom, this small little bathroom. And I'm like, you know what, Nikki? We're going to use some of the money we got. I don't forget the word stimulus money. We're redoing the bathroom. And she's like, okay, how long do you think that'll take? Now, you have to know something about me, right? I said earlier, I'm a time optimist. So, and I have a very high, elevated view of my talent in all things, right? I imagine that. And so... So I told Nikki, take me 2 days. She's like, really? 2 days to renovate a whole bathroom for your very first time? I'm like, yeah. Because my mind's like, okay, paint, 10 minutes, right? Slap it on, slap it off. All new trim, what? That's 4 cuts, measure once, pff, done. A couple nails, put in a new sink. Yeah, pedestal sink. I just, so I'm like, 2 days, easy. And I even gave myself an extra couple hours. So I started redoing this bathroom. And... I know Anna Ackerman just posted that she's a 3 as well. In the Enneagram, sorry, I should say, we're talking about the Enneagram. If you have no idea what we're talking about, there's a book called The Road Back to You that walks you through all of the Enneagram. It's like a personality test that in our community we found to be very helpful. We have taught a couple small groups or classes on it that they'll be coming out in the fall. But as an Enneagram 3, I want to win at all costs. So there's a shadow side. It, right? There's a healthy drive, then there's a shadow side. And the shadow side of Chris says, if I look stupid, then I'm weak. Because to be stupid means I don't know, and to not know means I can't get ahead, I can't move forward, I can't win. And I am a harsh critic of myself, very harsh. And I'm still going to therapy and meditating, do all these things so that I don't live in that place. But with COVID and my anxiety and my fear of what will happen to my friend's brother, to my friends, to the people in our community, it was all piling up. And I started the very first project in the bathroom, and I had to make these cuts, and I measured it twice, because I remember that's what you're supposed to do, and then cut once. Well, I measured it like 15 times, ended up cutting like 27 times. And right away, I started, that voice in my head started coming. But not only did the voice come ahead, I began to yell at myself. Yeah, that's what healthy people do apparently, right? I began to yell at myself. And I'd yell, you're so stupid, Chris. You're such a moron. And it was normal for me to hear in my head, but to saying it out, just it was like taking fuel and just putting on that flame and burning higher and higher. And my kids were there. And finally, Nikki pulled me aside and she's like, hey, Chris, this is inappropriate what you're doing. Because you're not stupid, you're not a moron. And what are you doing for yourself? Is that helping you? And what are you teaching our kids? And it was like she just took a mirror and held it up to me, saying, can you see what is really happening? And it stopped me. And I got clear, right? I had to get clear of that what I want in my mental health is I want to be the healthiest version of me. And this yelling at myself or this voice in my head is not helping me be to a good and beautiful life. And of course, instead of saying I'm stupid, what I had to do is recognize that come up and I'd have to pivot. Instead of giving the energy to the shadow side of my 3 saying you're so stupid, you're such a moron because you can't figure it out. Instead of just owning it and saying, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before. And even that small little work of pointing back again of where do I want to put my energy towards this negative side of call myself a moron or into the growth mindset of saying, no, be kind to Chris because Chris is great. Chris is good, not because of what Chris does, because the divine is already in me and what that God says that I'm good and that I belong. And everything in this life is just a journey for me to experience love and help others experience that love, even through doing a stupid little bathroom. You know what? I learned, but I had, and you might think, wow, Chris, you should go on a tour and speak about building bathrooms. Like, it's not a big deal, but it's something I had to get clear of what I wanted, and I had to do the work, all right? Another example is what you think about God really does matter, because what you think about God shapes then how you move with God. It shapes how you see God, what you believe about God, what you ask from the divine, and what you also invite other people into with the divine, right? It really, really does matter. And this came up, and I wish I could remember the podcast. My wife and I were listening to it on the way to the cabin. No bathroom tours, please. Yeah, come on over, everybody. I'll show you my handiwork. It is great. Did I mention I built stairs, too? No big deal. No big deal. I got it. All right. What am I talking about? Oh, the podcast. And I don't remember the name of the podcast, and I would love to give this person credit. So if this person is ever watching, you can send me hate mail, and I would totally understand. But it was this woman talking about being kind to your body and being kind to your mind and then being kind to the divine, of how you view the divine. And she told this story from like 100 years ago. This missionary went up all the way to northern Alaska and went to an indigenous people. And it was the first time that these people heard the gospel. And that's what missionaries do. They go on a mission to places where no one else has. And after a couple months of preaching the gospel and teaching people how to pray and read the Bible and telling all these stories, one of the elders came to the missionary and said, "Is it true that if someone never hears the name of God and they die, that they would go to heaven instead of hell?" And the missionary said, "Absolutely, it's true. We have a loving, merciful God. Absolutely, they would go to heaven." And the elder looked at the missionary and said, "Then why did you tell us his name?" I remember hearing that, and it just, again, it stopped me. It's like, yeah, how we see God matters. And my buddy Wade Johnson, talks about how we view God. Our theology feels like at times like it's a house of cards. And if you take one card out, that's one truth, something that you believe to be true. We're afraid if we take one of those out to observe it and think about it and ponder it, if we pull it out, the whole house is going to come coming down. So instead of that, we just leave it and say, I guess what was handed down to me at that Bible camp, right? What was handed down to me at that Young Life conference, what was handed down to me by my parents, what was handed down to me by that pastor, what was handed down to me by that person who abused me, whatever it might be, we feel you can't touch it. It's there. It must be true. Then it shapes our reality. And my buddy Wade said, he goes, "You know what's funny? I pulled one out finally. I was looking at it and nothing else fell down." He goes, "So I began to start grabbing." You can pull those truths out of like, and this is not Wade's story, just I want to be clear, right? You can pull that card out and say, what do we think about when Paul says that women should stay quiet during church, right? That literally, Paul says that, women be silent, no talking. You let the men do the heavy work, all right, because we're men, we know what's really going on, right? You could look at it and say, I don't believe that's to be true anymore, and having conversations and doing your work, right? Getting clear of what you want, doing the work. And you could take that and you could put it down and pick up a new one and put it back. Or you could take one out about genocide in the Bible. You could take one out about sexuality in the Bible. You could take one out about science and evolution in the Bible. You can pull them out, and it's not a threat to the divinity of God. It's not a threat to the good and beauty of God. Ugh, it's so good. It's so good. But it's exhausting. It is exhausting to do the work. It's exhausting to go back and say, why did I believe that to be gay was to be a sin? Why did I think it was an abomination? Why is it that I passed along these truths to other people? You can do the work. And even back to that story, we refer to it as the scoreboard God. If you do enough right things and say enough of the right prayers, and at the end of your life, your points are higher than like the devil's points or the world's points or sins, whatever points you want to use. As long as you're higher than the devil's team, then you go into heaven. But if the points for the devil's team is a little bit higher, then into eternal punishment, eternal damnation. Why did you tell us his name? I know a lot of people who go to bed at night deeply afraid of God. And that's not a Jesus-looking God, friends. But you have to get clear of what it is that I want. What do I believe about hell? What do I believe about heaven? What do I believe about divine love? Then do the work. And that's what we get to do together. Lastly, and this is something we talk about often, is getting clear, because, I mean, not everyone who's listening is white. I'm aware of that. But we are a white church. Most of us are white. And we have a class that's happening right now called Whiteness 101, where we examine our privilege. I've never met anyone, when talking about privilege, talking about racism, talking about white supremacy, or talking about systemic racism, not one person says, "Yeah, I am racist. Woo, that feels good." Man, I am totally aware of my bias, and what a freeing thing. No, where every single person starts is defensiveness. I'm a privilege. My parents were poor, right? I had to work my butt off in college. Yeah, all those things are true. But we still had privilege, right? You had difficulties. The color of your skin was not one of those things. And to get clear of how you want to do it, to get clear of what kind of human you want to be, what kind of person you want to be, taking into account bias and privilege is utterly exhausting, and that's the point. To grow, to be transformed, takes work. It doesn't happen like that. So friends, where I end is this. What is it that you want? What is the dream that the divine has given you? What was that field that you got, you inherited, or you bought, or you pursued, that you were so filled with this vibrant energy and love where the world could do no wrong? But soon after you did the work, maybe after a year, 10 years, 20 years, where you began to lay down and let everything else just grow around you because it was just too hard. And you'd rather just sleep and let the world spin madly by than getting back up to confront that voice, to confront that power, to confront that trigger. Friends, that dream is still alive. There's a good God. A good God wants nothing but good things for you. And we can do this together, and you can do hard things. And you are loved. Let me pray. So Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are here, that you are within. That God's presence, the Holy Spirit, is vibrating at all places, at all times, and we recognize that and we receive that. And I pray for my friends who are beginning just to ask those questions. What am I worth? What do I want? What am I tolerating? And they begin to dream. I ask that there would be wisdom. I pray that there would be a newfound energy where they could think bigger than just what they've already experienced. They could think wider than what they already know, that there could be even wider truth, a wider love that they have not experienced yet. Then will you give us the tenacity? Will you give us the drive? Will you give us the wisdom to begin to do the work? I pray that you'd highlight people in our community that we would reach out to have these conversations. I pray for wisdom of what books to read, of what podcasts, what videos, what art, what questions, what times of silence, that you would lead us in that process and that journey. Because when we do the work, and that dream is not just an idea, it becomes who we are, becomes what we do, it becomes a reality. It's in that place that we experience heaven. And that's what we want, flourishing for ourselves and flourishing for our brothers and our sisters. So we say yes and amen to you, Father. We say yes to you, Mother. We say yes to you, sister and brother. Amen. Man, I could do this all day. All right, friends. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to let this on so you guys can chat a little bit more if you'd like. And if there's anything we can do, if there's any questions we can answer, you can find us at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Cheers, friends.